Now, returning again to this great subject of demonology, and I want you to notice what I've said here this evening, number 17, and of course demonology simply means the doctrine of the devil and his angels, and I just cut it short and said the devil and his angels. We're looking at this great subject this evening, and I want you to get the hold of this. We're just looking at what the devil and his angels will do just before the church goes in the last of the last days of church history. And I want to make it absolutely clear to everybody here that beyond the shadow of a doubt, we're in the very last of the last days of church history. Let's make no mistakes about that. We'll do that first. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's second letter to Timothy, and we're at the third chapter, and we're commencing to read at verse 1. Paul's been telling Timothy a lot of things, and after he is telling him certain things that he wants him to know, he says, this know also, here's something else he wants him to know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And if I were to ask a question there, perilous times shall come for whom? I think that you would get the answer quite clearly, because Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing to Timothy how he should behave himself in the church, which is the pillar and ground of truth. And he's trying to get it over to Timothy and get it over to us that in the last days of church history, perilous times shall come for the believers. Now, we're not talking about the church going through the tribulation or anything like that. But make no mistakes about it, that perilous times shall come for the believers. And we'll see in a moment just how they will come and why they will come. Go back to 1 Timothy, and I think you remember us preaching from several of these phrases here in chapter 4. Verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the latter times of church history again, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we've gone into this phrase, doctrines of devils, already. So I think that this makes us absolutely sure that just because we're in perilous times, and I'm going to show you how perilous in a moment, and just because we're living in the days when there are doctrines of devils about. Oh yes, there are demons, and they're energizing folk, and they're preaching doctrines that are the doctrines of devils. And if you'd like to take a look just for a moment at 2 Peter, chapter 3, it will conclude our establishing that we're in the last days. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Peter says, verse 3, almost like Paul, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? But I'm just establishing, that's all, from these scriptures, that we are at this moment of church history, we're in the very last of the last days. We're entering into very perilous times. And there is no doubt that the doctrines of demons are abroad, so it must be the last days. And there are scoffers all around us. Mind you, the scoffers are not sort of backstreet boys. They always pretend to be the intellectuals. I went to the boss to home last night to preach to all the political Boston boys. Not just some wee fellow who stole apples or something. But lads of 17 and so on, 15, 16, 17, who'd be mixed up in this and that and other paramilitary groups, and they were all caught and they're in the boss too. And I've never preached to a better audience in my life. A man coming in tonight who's sitting over there said to me, I heard the most remarkable things about that meeting with the Boston boys last night. And I just started off to preach, you know, and I preached for an hour. And I didn't know what sort of reception I would get, whether they would snigger or laugh or move or what would happen. But I could tell you they were absolutely rooted to the seat. And then when the meeting was over, the governor said to them, I'll make this kind of free tonight. Let Mr. Mullen sit in the big chair in the corner. And if some of you boys would like to have a yarn with them, just face to face, we'll go away to the other end of the room. And one great big fellow stood up, came over, sat down, pulled the chair up. He said, I'm from Mornes, you learn. I didn't know the boy. I could tell you his name, but maybe I shouldn't do that. And then another one came up the chair, and he was from Mornview too. And another one came, he's from Mornview. I began to think they were all from Mornview. Then another one came. Oh, you should see the big broad face and the dimples he had. I said, where are you from? Shenko, he said. He said, you're just a cut of it, so you are. And all these lads, quite a number of them, seven of them, get on. You get their heads down, you know, they don't want these old warders to listen in. And their faces are nearly touching mine. And they asked some of the most wonderful questions I've ever heard lads asking. They were not scoffing. I think it was one of the most remarkable meetings I've ever had in my life. And I tell you, we had a heart-to-heart and no kid gloves on. And I believe that God did a big thing there. Trust that you pray about that. But in the last days, you know, you see the intellectuals, I go to Queen's, you know, and all these professors at Queen's. My dear friend, they're the greatest scoffers on God's earth. They think they know everything, and professing themselves to be wise, with one eye you could see they're fools. We're in the last days. This is all I need to prove. My subject tonight is not just proving that we're in the last days. My subject tonight is what the devil and demons will be doing in the last moments of the last days of this dispensation before Jesus comes. That's the problem. Now we've got all that settled. Now let me show you what they'll be doing. Let's come back to 2 Timothy. And we're at the third chapter. Second Timothy, chapter 3. And Paul's saying to Timothy, this know also, I want you to get the hold of this, Timothy, that in the last days of the church's history, perilous times shall come for men. You see, men are going to be used by demons, but let me take it bit by bit, and so that I won't be reading into it something that's not there. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, you would have no bother getting that crowd if you were looking for them. Men shall be covetous, and you would have no bother there, no boasters, no proud. I want you to get this word blasphemers and sort of underline it. And I want you to see in the very same verse at the end of the verse the word unholy. And I want to talk about these blaspheming men, these unholy men. I want you to get that. And I want you to notice the Holy Ghost gives us a whole lot of details that I don't want to use this evening. These men without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Now, this is the bit I want you to get. Despisers of those that are good. So that the men that the church is going to have bother with, they're going to be blasphemers. They're going to be unholy. They're going to be despisers of those that are good. And if you're going to be good, and that simply means if you're going to live for God, then you're going to be despised. Make no mistakes about it. God is not going to fool us. In the last moments of this dispensation, you'll find in a moment that demons are going to take men who are blasphemers, who are unholy, who are despisers of those that are good. And I want you to see these men. Verse 4 says they're traitors, they're heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But in spite of the word blasphemers and unholy and despisers of those that are good, they're going to have a form of godliness. They'll have to have some sort of a meeting. I can hardly follow, you know, how blasphemers and unholy and people who despise those that are good are going to have any sort of a meeting at all. I'll tell you what meeting it will be. It will be the ecumenical movement. Because it was based and founded by blasphemers. And it's stuffed full now with all holy men. And I'll tell you in a moment, they're going to come against those that are good. They're just going to have a fall. And what a form it will be. You see, last Saturday night in the paper, I didn't print that as the telegraph. And Bishop Daly, oh, he's a holy man, is he? He's a reptile, that's what he is. I'll tell you what he said, I'll read it out to you so it'll make no mistake. The Catholic Bishop of Derry has appealed to us, the people, to support recognized churches and not to be misled by other factions. Now, I'd love to ask him what he means by recognized churches. And I want to know what he means by other factions. You see, it's almost 15 years ago. We've got the tapes of everything I've said here for 21 years. So we can go back and you can catch me on when you like. But 16 years we were looking at this today, I said, we have little commercial traveler saved in the meeting. Little man, but he was a well-paid commercial traveler. 15 years ago, he was earning about £4,000 a year, so he was not any small boy. And that would mean double today. But he could save them, these meetings. He belonged to the Episcopal Church, not in this town, but in Belfast. And he said, you know, I couldn't go on with it, Mr. Muller. I'll have to leave it. And I can't leave it without going and having it out with the minister. I should please yourself. No use of me keeping the fellow back if he wants to have a row with the dead minister. I don't think I should keep him back. So he went along to see him and he told him, he said, I've got saved. And the minister said to him, there's no such thing as salvation. Now, the wee fellow was only saved, but he knew this. He said, no such thing as salvation. He said, should Peter talk to somebody about that Jesus Christ's name is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved? He says, didn't the Philippian jailer say something about what must I do to be saved? Our little fellow didn't know enough of the scriptures, but he knew enough to put the minister in the fix. And the minister said to him, says, I'll tell you this. He says, you know, the four main churches. Is this what Bailey's talking about? The four main churches. These recognized churches of his. Rome, and the Church of Ireland, and the Presbyterian, and the Methodist. He says, we will go to Parliament, and we will get a law passed. And we will make it that you other fellows like Mullen down there, and a few more of them, will never be allowed to preach again. That's where we're heading for. Is he coming out into the open with it now? Did these four men that went to talk about peace spare the Christians down the river? We're not talking about Protestants. Are they going to tell us? I wonder, do they think they can pass a law that will make every man in this house this evening go to the big church next Sunday? They must be balmy. I'll tell you, they're only taking on something they don't even know what they're starting. I just pray every day that God will spare me till this thing really starts. I really believe he's really coming out with it, isn't it? Oh, yes, he talks about the recognized churches. Just go to the recognized churches, yes, with our popish doctrines. And don't be misled by these other factions. Oh, well, I want to tell you, if you're in a church that's supporting the ecumenical movement, I'll tell you it's time you were out of it. Maybe that won't please everybody here. But then I'm not here to please people. I brought the paper tonight just because I must be sure. You see, I said something about two doctors at Holborn Hall saying that the young people should go and get into tongues. Now, when I went to make investigation about that, that was not true. Let me say now that it was a brethren man from Bangor who told me it. The truth is that these two doctors were put on the platform and asked questions about tongues, and maybe they didn't come out as loud and as clear as they should. But certainly they didn't say what was reported of. So I've got to be very careful. If I'm going to preach on Sunday morning about not speaking wrongfully, then I'm clearing that up now. And I will most truly clear up anything wherein I have been given wrong information. But this is not wrong. My dear friends, we may be on the verge of the greatest moment in the church history from the days of the Covenanters. You know, they tried the same game with the Covenanters. They made a law. They could not omit him. They couldn't break bread. They couldn't sing praises. I'll tell you that Scotland rocked with the praises of God. And let them try it in Ulster. And we'll let them see. My God's people will wake them up. Don't you worry yourself about them. They won't tie us in. Wouldn't I look a fool going to Parliament to ask? I was going to say hoojah, but that's not the right word. Ask Reeves for a permit to preach when the Lord has gifted me and sent me, and this meeting has been packed full for 21 years, when the great men with their BDs and ADs can't get through nothing. Wouldn't I look a fool? Are you paying for this? Are you stuck in some ecumenical church paying for? Or are you sitting on Sunday night helping it? I tell you, I don't think that this is the game for real Christians to be supporting this in any shape or form, because we've got to face it one of these days. I don't think your nose should be there. If they ask you in to preach the gospel, you go and I'll pray for you. Because if they ask me in, I would preach the gospel. I don't think you should be giving it money or giving it your presence. I'll tell you what the book says, and then you'll be quite sure about what I'm about. Are you there still at the same place? Yes, they're going to have a form of godliness. I don't know how blasphemers can have a form of godliness, or unholy men can have a form of godliness. But it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There'll be no power in a thing like that. There can't be. Now, here's four words. They're put here by Paul, and they're here for the Christian. From such, turn away. Say amen. Amen. Some of you old dead Presbyterians, you're afraid to say it. That's God's word. You don't expect me to apologize for it, do you? I'm here to preach it. As long as I have breath, I'll preach it, whether you like it or not. It's in your book. And if you don't like it, tear the page out. What does God say? From such, turn away. Yes, you've got to get up, haven't you? But I want to get down to what we're at this evening. It says this, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with divers lusts. This crowd, ever learning, oh, that's them, all right, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now, what does he mean when he says this? I think we've got to go back to get this proper now. Let's go back to the book of Exodus, and we're at chapter 7. The book of Exodus, and we're at the 7th chapter. It's the place where God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh. Verse 10, Exodus 7, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his serpents, and it became a serpent. This was one of the signs that God gave to Aaron, just to let Pharaoh know that God was with him. Verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Let's get that word proper now. Enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, how were these men able to do this? Now, you know how Aaron was able to do it, because God was with him, God's power was there, and God had told him to do this, and that he would give him power. Now, these magicians and sorcerers, we just get the names of two of them over here, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. All these blasphemers in the last days will withstand the truth. You see how they withstood him? Through their enchantments. Have a look at chapter 8 again. And verse 5, it's just over the page. And the Lord spake to Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. I wonder, do you remember this? Let's go on over to Deuteronomy 18. We were there just a week or two ago, but I want to remind you of this. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter. There shall not be found among you. You see, when we looked at every phrase there and every word, we found that these enchanters and these divinators and these wizards and these witches, that they were all indwelt by evil spirits. So that evil spirits in the last days are going to take men who are blasphemers and kill them to withstand the truth, even as Jannes and Jambres. Is this right or wrong? Yes, we are going to see it. We are not only going to deal with men who are blasphemers. We are going to deal with men who are blasphemers, but also possessed with evil spirits. That's going to give the church a great bit of a task. That'll make perilous days, all right. Now, let's go back to where we were. We were at 2 Timothy. We were at chapter 3. Now, this is the bit that fills me most. We have seen these perilous days in the last days, and these men, these blasphemers, these unholy men, this form of godliness, we have seen how they're going to work now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Verse 8, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. Reprobate concerning the faith. Now here's a great phrase. But they shall proceed no further. You know the devil's not going to get it all his own way. Although this ecumenical movement is a mighty machinery, And although these blasphemers are quite a multitude, and although they'll be indwelt by demons, and just the Jannes and Jambres which stood Moses, so will these resist the truth preached even from this pulpit. But there's going to come a spot where they shall proceed no further. God's going to put a full stop to it, you know. I'll tell you how. Watch it now. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. God's going to make fools out of them. As theirs also was, that is, as Jannes and Jambres' folly also was, because God made fools out of them. And how did God make fools out of these enchanters? I'll tell you how. You know, there came a night, and in the middle of the night, God took his people out of Egypt in spite of Pharaoh. We're at the very verge of Christ's coming. And when this ecumenical movement gets at its diabolical worst, God will make a fool of them, because God will take his people out. If he will. And they can keep us. And they can keep the Baptist Church and Morgan too. But we'll not be worried a bit about it. We're going out, you know. That's our way there. We're not looking backwards or forwards or sidewards. We're looking upwards. We're going out, you know. Milo looks fools when we leave them behind. But can't you see that in the last of the last days, that these demons are going to use men, and the Holy Ghost has given us some of the qualifications, blasphemers, non-holy, and so on. Then they're going to use might. It's the might of demons, of course. And then they're going to use majority. It's ecumenical thing, the big thing, you know. How the Antichrist will need a big thing when he comes. Yes. So that first of all, in the last of the last days, the devil and demons are going to use men and diabolical might in this ecumenical majority. Now, we've got a bit further to go tonight. Let's go back now to 1 Timothy. And we're at chapter 4 again. Just to get the proper connection here. Still thinking about what they'll do in the last days. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, absolutely clearly, that in the latter times, that's the latter times of church history, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And this word seducing is a great word. It's the old word deceiving. It's translated erred or error. Seduction. Deception. Error. Now I want you to go from there to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and the Lord is, remember, through Paul, writing to Timothy that the church might get the truth. And he says in verse 7, 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing up. And it's a great truth to remember. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. I want you to look at the marginal reference. There's a little number at the word erred. If you have a good marginal Bible, it says, they have been seduced from the faith. You see, I think the devil is not only going to use men and might and the majority in the ecumenical movement, but he's also going to use money. And if there's one thing in this world at this moment we believers need to be careful about, it's money. We've all got to live, and we've all got to be servant in business, and we've all got to do our daily job as unto the Lord, and we've got to work on, and we've got to work honest. But remember, there's a snare here if you don't watch. It's not everybody, you know, who can handle prosperity. And in Philippians, Paul says, I have been instructed how to handle prosperity. Because the devil will use money, and it's not the first time he's used money. I've seen saints who were ablaze for God when they hadn't 2D. And when they made money, they wouldn't know you. But the devil is coming in the last days against the church. Not only with his money. But I want you to go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. And we're at the 3rd chapter there. 1 John chapter 3, now this is a portion that all the believers should put their nose in and really think about it. 1 John 3 verse 7, and John speaking to the believers, he always speaks tenderly, he says, little children. He actually means my little children. He led these ones to the Lord. He says, let no man deceive you. And do you see the word deceive? It's the word seduce, of course. Because you would know that seduce and deceive and add is the same thing. You're clever enough to know that. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. There's nothing wrong with that. You must never bluff yourself. The fellow that does righteousness is righteous. Now, did you see what he says now? He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, the word committeth is a great word in the Greek, because it means he that goes on unceasingly committing sin is of the devil, even if he says he's a Baptist. There's no way out of that. Because in the last days, you know, the devil's going to use men, and he's going to use might, and he's going to use this majority, and he's going to use money, and he's going to use this mantle of bluff. So there's a whole lot of people going to get dressed up in a mantle and pretend to be what they're not. And the devil's going to bluff them. And if you're a pharisaical hypocrite tonight, even though you're a Baptist, it's time you were right with God. Because you'll be left behind. You can keep this church, you'll be in on your own. If I want you to see something else, of course, let's go to 2 Timothy again, and we're still at that 3rd chapter. after letting them see these men and this great form of godliness that has no power, these men who used the power of evil spirits to resist the truth, and he says this to them, verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There is no doubt about this. Just you do what's right at your work. Just you start at the right time. Just you give him the right overtime. While all the boys are giving him twice as much. You give him it right, do you think? Just start and live right and do right and be right. You'll suffer persecution. Well, you'll have to do it, that's all. It's one thing to get this bit over, verse 13, but evil men and seducers. We're back to the word we began with. You see, when we were away over there at chapter 4, you don't need to go back to it, we were talking about seducing spirits. You see, he's going to have ministers of his own who are filled with demons, preaching doctrine, seducing spirits. And I'll tell you, as we get nearer the end, they'll get worse and worse. And I'll tell you what he says to you, and it's quite simple. He says, "But." Some of the boys in this meeting are looking for buts. Well, here's a but for you. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You continue just in the scriptures. So you can see that in the last days of this dispensation, that the demons are going to use men and knights and this great majority of the ecumenical, and they're going to use money, and they're going to use this mantle of unrighteousness and bluff people, and they're going to use these ministers who are filled with seducing spirits to lead you into deception. Now, we've still got a bit to go, because I want to take you to the book of the Revelation, and in these first three chapters, we have seven churches. And you know, this is a great study for young folks, just to go through these whole seven churches. And remember, they were seven literal churches. Don't make any mistake. There was a place called Ephesus. There was a place called Pergamos. There was a place called Laodicea. Don't be getting any fancy ideas. They were literal churches. Now, while they were literal, he ends every one of the letters to these literal churches with a personal message. You see, when he spoke to the church of the Laodiceans, when he talked about the lukewarmness and all the rest of it, he came down and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man..." The Lord's just looking for a man. Or a woman. Doesn't make a matter about your size, or your shape, or your academic standards. If you're prepared to give him your life, he's just looking for a man. That's what he's looking for. So that these are literal, and each time it's personal. Now, there's a wonderful thing that old Darby discovered, bless his name tonight, that these were prophetical, that they covered the whole of church history in a wonderful pictorial, prophetical form. And it's very silly. Though they were literal and though they are personal, yet they were prophetical and historical, and that is very wonderful. But the study that we want to do this evening is to see each church where the devil appears. Well, that's very interesting. Maybe you never thought about it before. Because I can tell you that the first church is in chapter 2, Revelation 2. and it's the church of Ephesus. Now, there are 7 verses there about it, and the word devil doesn't come into any of the 7. Nothing said about the devil as far as the church of Ephesus is concerned. Now, when we come to verse 8, we start with the church in Smyrna. And that's very wonderful, because the word Smyrna comes from the word myrrh, which simply means suffering. Now, here's what it says. The Lord is speaking. It's his last letter to this church. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Somebody's going about now saying that the Lord never died. Well, the Lord Jesus said that he was dead. He's alive. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Knows everything about every one of us, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Because I can tell you that in the last days of church history, the devil is going to have meeting houses of his own. In California at this moment, down on the great main street there, there's a big church which says, the first church of Satan. And the people go in there openly to worship the devil. Some of them don't have the name out on the front. And you have to watch them. You've got to find out whether they're standing for truth and preaching it or not. Because there's a lot of places I believe could be labeled the synagogue of Satan, and it's not my phrase. I get blamed for me. This is the Lord talking. It was the Lord Jesus who said they belong to the synagogue of Satan. Did you make any mistakes about it now? As in the last days, he'll not only have men and might and use money and have this great majority, ministry and mantles to cover the pretenders. He'll have meeting houses of his own. You better watch just where you go. That's all. Now, he went a bit further here. He said in verse 10 of chapter 2, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. There's a lovely word to come to us at this time. Fear none of those things. Because I think if the British government is not very careful here, just note that at this moment, we're going to have a civil war. You know, we hear of some poor creature being shot, whether he be Roman Catholic or Protestant. Remember, I'm against shooting any man. We hear of the bin man or the dustman being shot, he's a Roman Catholic. We hear the next day somebody else is shot in his place. But you know that falter of seconds off. But it's going to break out into a civil war if they don't watch. There are loads of guns in this land. A farmer told me the other day he could take me to a barn where they're filled to the ceiling with machine guns. Ready for war? And there's old hypocrites like Daly. He just tackles the churches, doesn't he? Because he wanted to thump Paisley, I know. Well, he should keep to his words. I'll tell you what he said again. He said, these other sections. I don't know who he's talking about. And if they go on pushing it right, left, and center, it'll blow up on them.
There'll be blood shed in these streets that they'll never forget about. And I'll tell you this, friend, the Roman Catholics will be killed by the thousands. And I hope to God in high heaven it never happens.
This has been preached far enough. He couldn't talk to them, though he wouldn't let me talk to them. They know it all. Well, they'll push it too far. Maybe this dear lady they've got in now will have more sense than the men. That's one up for you. Not often he gives the woman a bit of his brethren, you know. No. Ah, well, we would pray God's blessing on her if she's in the spot. I hope that God will bless her and that she'll be a blessing. She's got a tough job, poor lady. She certainly cannot make any bigger muddle of it than the rest of them. That's one thing sure. Watch this, verse 10, we're at chapter 2. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. I want you to get that. You know, friends, the devil will be so busy in the last days that governments will be moved and magistrates will become merciless. I suppose if it goes much further and they go to Parliament and I preach the way I'm preaching, I'll be up before the magistrate and I'll be put into prison. I'm 64, I don't give two hoots, I'm nearly pension age anyway, and they can't do much about it. Oh, friends, I tell you that things in the last days may become terrible. Perilous times. Men and diabolical mites, and the majority of the churches in the ecumenical movement going homeward. Yes, and even believers with a mantle on them pretending to be what they're not. And money leading others astray. And the meeting houses of the devil being chock-a-block. And even the magistrates on the benches being tainted and putting good men and honest men into prison. When we come to verse 12 here, we're at another church. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things said, he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, where Satan's seat is. Now that's a mighty thing, isn't it? Because that's the devil coming into it again, don't you see? He talks about the synagogue of Satan. He talks about the devil casting them into prison. He talks about Satan's dwelling where Satan's seat is. Now I think you'll get a hint of what that means. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. You see, they took his life. Who was slain among you, watch it, where Satan dwelleth. Because you see, the devil will always use murder. Because I can tell you that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And all the murders that we've had, the devil has had his finger in it. Make no mistakes about that, whether it's Protestant or Catholic. The devil. And he may yet try to murder saints. There was a time in the Dark Ages when they burnt the saints of God by the thousands. There were times when cruel, clever house took the heads of godly men and kicked them across the street and laughed in their wife's face and she said to her, what do you think of him now? She says, he's more blessed now than he ever was.
Oh, yes. The last of the last days, men were out for blasphemers.
They don't need to be associated with them. They need to get out from such turnaway.
A form of godliness with no power in it. What would you want to do with a thing like that?
Of course, Bailey wouldn't like me to preach like that, because that's what his pagan chapel is. There's no power there. Then the last days will bring murder. Watch this. We're away down the chapter now. We're away to verse 24. It's the church of Thyatira. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. There's a phrase for you. I tell you that in the last days, the devil and his angels are going to bring perilous times to those who are good. They'll be despised. And if you preach out, I'll tell you this, there will be a might that will resist you. When you preach truth, there's always a might resisting. And remember this, that the devil will use magistrates and murder and even mystery that we cannot properly explain tonight, the depths of Satan. What would I know about it? I wouldn't know the depths of Satan. Too deep for me, that. I'll tell you one thing. All that I've been through with you tonight and these scriptures that tell us about these last days and what's going to happen, I'll tell you this, friends. We're on the verge of Christ's return. We're on the verge. Anything may blow up in this land at any moment. And maybe when it blows up, we'll go up. I'm not looking for the undertaker, you know. I'm looking for the uppertaker. Be at home with Jesus. Fancy all our saints in this place standing together on the golden street, looking into his face and shouting hallelujah at home at last through amazing grace. It's an amazing grace. What's the number of 894, please. 894. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. And there are only four verses here, but we'll put an extra one in at the end. When I've been there 10,000 years, and you know the verse quite well. 894, please. see that we're on the victory side, that the best for us is yet to be. And in spite of hell and the devil and darkness and men and might, we'll reach yonder shore by sovereign grace. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, take us to our homes in safety through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.